The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Stop laughing. Or start laughing.
Good afternoon.
Oh, man, I was going to say morning.
I was watching you.
I know.
Good job.
I had already made. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Bob.
Well, good afternoon, Bill.
By golly.
We need to come up with a new salutation. This good afternoon thing. You sound like we're
greetings and salutations.
We sound like a bunch of Englishmen.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good day, Aaron. Yeah, I sound like Paul Hartley.
No, what is
good
it?
Good day.
No, what is it? Take care. Remember that whole Seinfeld episode? That really means take off.
No, good to see you.
Every time somebody says take care, I always hear Seinfeld going, yeah, mm-hmm, there it is, take off. Okay, so.
Yeah, so here we are.
Well, I learned something.
Welcome to We
day.
The People Radio.
We're scrambling to get our stuff unpacked.
I'm not scrambling.
Rob Burrows yelled at us from the. He's like, "You're late!" from out on the street. It's like, "Come on, man, you're killing me." So, We the People Radio, as always. Well, it used to be 8 to 10. Now we're 12 to 2. And
doesn't appear to be any easier to get here on time.
Yeah, we didn't oversleep now.
Now we're just lollygagging.
Okay, it's a must be a what do
now
we have?
You have other hosts to give you grief.
Hey, wait, we have a disability. We could probably qualify for a grant.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd we do?
We have lateness disability,
but we
have to make it sound more exciting though. You can't call it lateness disability. We're time challenged.
Very time challenged.
Time challenge. There's time challenging going on. Mm-hmm.
Punctually challenged.
There you go. I just don't care about it. I have a hatred for that. It's good to focus on things that don't mean anything, though, right? Okay, so on the website, wethepeopleradio.us is probably how lots of you found us. On there, we try to keep current on what's happening with the week. All our archives are there, all that good stuff. And this is a two-parter, kind of a two-parter with two different guests. So it's a two-part idea with two different people. So we're going to come at it from different angles, technology. Right?
So it's going to fade to black at the end of the show and say, to be continued.
Yeah, da, 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 da. So the good news is I already made the page for next week. So if you go to the archives and you look at next week, you can see where we're headed. We're going to have Patrick Wood next week who wrote a book called Technocracy. I don't know the date of that book, but the new one, Technocracy Rising, it's just out. I mean, recently out, like 1995. I put a link to the book in there. It's a quick read, but it'll kind of bend your mind. He started researching the Trilateral Commission a long time ago. And so he's taken those ideas of Rockefeller and all those guys and what they were up to. And back in the turn of the century, I mean, Patrick wasn't alive then. I should probably make that distinction. Our guest, he's 150 years old. He started researching what they were doing back in the turn of the century and looking at where they wanted to go with control of the population and manipulation of data and all these different kinds of things, but they didn't have the technology to do it. I mean, the stuff they wanted to do, they kind of had the net all made, and it was called technocracy. That was the plan. That isn't a word he invented. It was called technocracy. And they kind of gave up on it in the 40s. And here, you know, you start looking at smart grids, smart meters, all the things that aren't smart that are called smart. That's all a huge part of it. It all plays into Agenda 21, all the things that most of you learn about and read about. I think you'll like it. So today we're going to look at one application because you could, you know, there's so much of it. You really have to look industry by industry. So we asked Tracy to come in because she is our fearless Common Core researcher.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just not going to say anything until you say something. And because of that, I knew she would know how the technology was being applied in Common Core, because that is a huge, huge factor. For all the people who have been listening, and we know the curriculum is goofy and the math is nuts and we have all those things and they're all bad, the data is another ballgame. So today we're going to talk about personal data. I think everybody's looking at, you know, do I give my credit card to Target anymore? You know, is that a good idea? You look at all the data breaches and stuff. One of the things I put up on the page for today that Tracy gave me was Epic, an outfit called Epic. So for all of you that listen to us and listen to the natural resource issues and the environmental issues, this isn't that epic. When you said epic, I'm like, what? Idiots are into this too? Ah, different guys. Electronic Privacy Information Center.
Is I was this? Just going to say, look at the industry that's sprung up over identity theft.
Oh, and giant.
The billions that are being made just to protect your identity
but
now.
Then there's all these things like, does it really work? And are they really doing it? And does it make a difference?
Is it enough?
And so you look in some of these things that, like one of the things you sent me, was it the FBI thing, Tracy? And it said that your Wi-Fi knows where you are in your house?
That is actually from the Washington's desk, the president's
that's
Washington
right, that's
desk.
That's right, it was an executive.
It's an executive.
Yeah,
document.
Tell folks about that. That was pretty darn interesting.
Do you have it right there?
Actually, no, I don't.
Okay, I'll look it up. We'll no, it's all right.
I'll
juggle over here in the meantime.
I'm scrolling through the document. Here we go. We have no pride. We have no pride. That's probably why we can't tell time. This is part of, and I'm not going to scroll to it because then I'll lose my spot. So how about this? I'll tell you what it says, then I'll go to the beginning. The actual segment here is Big Data and Privacy. Big data technologies, together with sensors that ride on the, quote, Internet of Things, pierce many spaces that were previously private. Signals from home, Wi-Fi networks, reveal how many people are in a room and where they are seated. Power consumption data collected from demand response systems shows when you move about your house. Facial recognition technologies can identify you in pictures online. We all know that, right? And then we help them, of course, by, you know, tagging some picture with somebody's face. So, I mean, we completely...
Well, let's just do a selfie.
Yeah.
I think a selfie
plus, everybody has a camera on their computer now, so aim in both directions. Even your laptops are constantly have a camera pointed at you.
See, and to continue this, it says always on, so like always dash on, wearable technologies with voice and video interfaces and the arrival of whole classes of network devices will only expand information collection still further. This sea of ubiquitous sensors, each of which has a legitimate use, make the notion of limiting information collection challenging, if not impossible. So here was just one other segment in that chunk. Another reality of big data is that once data is collected, it can be very difficult to keep it anonymous. While there are promising research efforts underway to obscure personally identifiable information within large data sets, so for instance, giving you a patient number rather than using your social security number for your medical records or whatever, far more advanced efforts are presently in use to re-identify seemingly anonymous data. Collective investment in the capability to fuse data is many times greater than investment in technologies that will enhance privacy.
Yes, this report.
I thought that was the part you highlighted. So this was the, do you remember the name, the exact? It's called Big Data, Seizing Opportunities, Preserving Values. Executive Office of the President, May 2014.
And you know what? I could highlight.
I feel so much better.
I know. I hope you do.
I hope
these people that are listening will actually read this. This is huge. It talks about the Education Department too as well in there. That's why I grabbed it. But I could highlight the whole report, because it had so much information, and it's an eye-opener. It really is.
Well, we laughed yesterday. It's like, maybe you should highlight the part not to read.
Yeah.
And then all the rest, read all the stuff that's not highlighted, because otherwise you waste all the yellow. I did. I burned up the highlighter the other day doing that. I was like, oh, crap, I'll just highlight all of it. I'll put this on the page, too. I guess I got so caught up in reading it yesterday, I forgot to carry it over. So, as you go through your day, and I would say to folks that are listening later on today, go back, refresh the page, and there will be more stuff popping on as we go. So.
Yeah, kind of scary stuff.
Creepy.
Yeah, someone's always watching.
Yeah, Bob, you have a bevy of musical fun today. We expect nothing less than a bevy of musical fun. We're not going to say perfection. That's so much pressure. So do we... Do you want to take a break, or did we already do that at the beginning while you were waiting for us to park and get in the building. Do we still have a break to do?
Yeah, blame it on the parking.
Did we already take the break?
No, we need to take a break.
Oh, darn it. Okay. I'm always trying to pre-take the break.
A quick one.
Okay, a swift break here. All right, you are listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. All right, so I didn't put that thing on during the break because I hadn't logged into the webpage, blah, blah, blah. So if you go to We the People Radio, you look at this week, you'll see all the details on, the stuff we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Bill has some input on privacy.
Yeah.
So just in case the government doesn't steal it from you, because, see, we blame other people for taking our data.
Yeah, we give it away.
Yeah.
Freely. I have here, I don't know if how many of you have heard of the new National Geographic project called Geno 2.0. It is a program where you can volunteer your DNA for $149. You can send them, they'll send you a little kit with a little swab, and you swab your mouth and send them your DNA, and they'll tell you the migration pattern of your ancestors and all about your family heritage from your DNA. And wait a minute, your fries are ready over there.
That was my phone.
Oh, okay.
It was Harry Potter who was calling me. He missed me.
Yeah, Harry Potter. Okay, so, Geno 2.0. And the National Geographic is putting together all this DNA information, and you'll be able to find out where your heritage is from. Now, that's kind of scary, really. I mean, first of all, the fact that people would be willing to give away their DNA, number one, that's kind of frightening. But then to put it in this massive database, and the National Geographic Society, as we know, is a little bit on the left side of things. But who has access to that?
Regardless, who cares? Yeah, who cares what their politics are?
Yeah, but who has access to that now? Law enforcement?
Tracy read all sorts Federal of good government? Stuff about who's got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's frightening.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I sent you guys some links. Did you get those links?
I read a bunch of stuff on it last night. Yeah. It's here you go. By participant, you could spend $159 to do this, by the way.
Yeah.
So they actually make you pay like a fairly...
Yeah, and they're gonna give you some valuable information, mm-hmm. but the bottom line is they're going to keep it.
Yeah, discover the migration paths your ancient ancestors followed hundreds, even thousands of years ago with an unprecedented view of your ancestral journey. Learn what percentage of your genome is affected with specific regions of the world.
We want to get close to you.
Find out. This is the part I like. Come on, knuckle dragger, work with me.
Okay.
Find out if you have Neanderthal ancestry.
I think we all have a little Neanderthal. I hope we all have a little Neanderthal.
We are
going to
finally know who the knuckle draggers are.
I thought about swabbing the dog's mouth and sending it in and seeing what they told me.
They'll put you on a watch list.
This guy's trouble.
Tighten that guy's leash. He seems to be canine.
We finally identified a true werewolf.
Sorry, Bob. Are we blowing up your sound? He's like, for God's sake, I could touch the buttons. People's ears are bleeding.
Yeah, so go ahead.
We've gone crazy.
Yeah, this is what they're telling you the DNA is for.
And
I'm sure they are going to do a little research and supply you some information. But down the road, your DNA is now in this massive DNA data bank, which it may be already. Who knows?
Oh, it was $9.95 to ship it, too. I just noticed that at the bottom.
Oh.
So it was actually like...
Oh, shipping.
It was $170.
Yeah.
God bless America. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, track me, please.
So it's called the Genographic Project, G-E-N-O, Graphic Project, with National Geographic.
Do you have to sign a consent waiver on that? I think you did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Consent, I signed
it. It's a multi-layer research initiative.
It's called Your Story, Our Story, The Human Story.
Which is probably like some sort of a what coded message for, holy crap, now we've got you.
Yeah.
Let me guess, this is a limited time offer.
No, I think they're probably going to try to make it popular.
Actually, it said they've been promoting this for
a couple of years. Hold on, it says right here it's anonymous.
Yeah, it's anonymous, all right. Except the envelope they sent it in.
Okay, how's this sentence for you, right? Who reads this? Who reads this and, like, doesn't notice, like, their head doesn't pop open? Okay, the Genographic Project is anonymous, so you're going, good, yeah, that's good. Non-medical, good. Non-profit, plus or minus, don't know. And all results, so now it's like the rainbows, the puppies, you can hear the music. It's awesome. It's National Geographic. They're friendly and small. Yeah, all results are placed in the public domain following the scientific peer publication.
Oh, we'll share it with everyone.
Holy crap, baby!
Yeah, and it's anonymous, but what I don't get is you got to mail it to them.
Yeah, they totally know it's... Well, and how are they going to get back to you with the results if it's anonymous?
You go online, but oops, you go online...
To test your results with your secret number, and now they have your ISP and...
Now they know who you are. Oh, darn it, that's not really anonymous.
Oh, it means anonymous, like they're not going to say your name is Bill.
They're not going to tag this information with your name...
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, that is a crazy... Genographic Project is anonymous, non-medical, non-profit, and all results are placed in the public domain following the scientific peer publication.
If anybody would like a swinging deal on one of these kits, give me a call. I have one that's slightly open, but not used.
I think it's interesting when you start looking at the actual...
Jeez,
webpage, the partnerships behind it.
Go do that.
Or the privacy. Go into the privacy policy and start reading the privacy policies, too. It's quite interesting how they word it to make it sound so nice.
Oh, yeah. It's all for...
It's a big joyride.
The benefit of the human race. Yeah.
So, okay, I put the president's deal on there. It's on there officially. So if you guys refresh your page out there in the free world... big data, seizing opportunities, preserving values. The Executive Office of the President, May 2014.
That was a big report we found. I was really impressed. It actually pulls out the education portion, too. There is an education portion. Education is one of the largest data research places right now. I mean, look at all the data they can get from education.
Sure. And if the kids and all the tests and stuff we've spoken with you about before, right? So now, do your parents own guns? What religion are they? Do they go to church? Do they own their home? Do they work? Do they fight? Do they... Yeah.
Do they drink?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do they drink?
Do they drink?
All that.
It's interesting when you start going in to the data. We've gone to a couple school board meetings, and I'm starting to realize that people just don't get it with technology. Parents and teachers love the research that they're so-called going to get out of this. But when you really talk about technology these days, I think the interfaces and the software scare me to death. And I think parents just don't get it. And I'm finding out that this is basically what I'm talking about now at the school board meetings is... Oh, they're coming to get us.
They're coming to get us now. You better swab your mouth, Bill. Hurry up. That wasting that National Geographic kid is setting off a national incident.
Bill, your ride is here.
Yeah. I'll go and lock the door.
Straight jacket.
I was like, wow, those sirens sound really close.
That didn't take long.
What I'm noticing is parents have no earthly clue what the interface is. And my question is what is the word third party to the government? Because technically there is no third party. If all these interfaces and software are connecting to each other, what's technically a third party anymore for privacy? There is no third party, which is kind of quite interesting.
Yeah, true.
Because all your software is connecting.
So, can we talk about the games?
Oh, yeah.
Is it too early?
No, actually, that's fine.
Okay, so when you talk about interface of data gathering, right?
Oh.
So we have to do regular speak for all the people that are using, what's it called, Jitterbug?
Jitterbug.
I have a relative who has one of those. The one where you push the number and there's a lady that's in it and she does the dialing for you. You don't even have to dial the phone. Yeah. Okay.
Big,
so for the folks,
Fisher Price numbers on the phone.
Exactly, they're big buttons. That's a cell phone, by the way. So for the folks that have just moved up to that, what are we talking about?
Interfaces. Now, mind you, I'm not a software. Tech person at all.
Have you stayed at the Holiday Inn Express?
I have. I know there's people out there that know so much more about this, and I'm learning, but I do have some techie portion. I actually, and I hate to say this, but I was part of the implementation of electronic health records.
Get out.
In the state of California, so I do know some techie part, but I know there's tons of people that have a little bit more techie portion than I do. So I've learned quite a bit when I was doing the implementation regarding interfaces, and that's how the computers actually generate and talk to other computers. It's a language the computers do, and basically they all talk to each other, and it's a flow. It's a very gradual flow.
Everything is able to communicate. Each program can communicate with the other one and share their information.
Uh-huh. And I think this is really scary because when you start thinking about the connections we have, say for instance, AIR, which is your American Institute for Research, is connected to the Smarter Balanced Assessments. Smarter Balanced, that's five different entities that it hits before it actually hits AIR, but people don't see that. They just see. So AIR is actually connected to CITED. I'm going to use a lot of acronyms here. I'm just going to prove a point that it takes five places to actually get to that one source, one research. So actually, let's start at Smarter Balanced. Smarter Balanced Assessments gets done. They're using what they call CAST, which is actually created by, funded by Bill Gates. UDL, which is your software, is actually run by CITED. CITED is also umbrellaed by AIR. So all those connections through the databases.
And who's AIR?
AIR is your American Institute for Research, one of the largest behavioral researches in the world.
Oh, really?
So it's
do they have sirens?
Oh,
is that who was
do.
After Bill? Bill's being chased by AIR.
He's already been targeted.
Don't let him take me.
But I think people just don't get that.
I'm pretty sure they don't.
And it's really scary because that's a lot of. You gotta realize how many research places are attached to these too.
Well, they don't want people to know.
No,
the reason people don't know. I mean, we should actually just say it. It's not that people don't know because they're not doing their homework. People don't know because it's not designed for them to know.
Heck, I didn't know until I was doing the implementation of the electronical records. Seriously. I mean, unless you are in a computer world and doing this for your job.
Yeah, how would you know?
You wouldn't know.
Well, a simple example of that is Google. I mean, Google's been at the cutting edge of this for a long time. When you use Google as your browser, they track your keystrokes. They track your websites. And they use that information to put the ads on your screen. So what you'll see on your homepage could be totally different than what I see on my homepage. And who knows what they come up with Aaron's homepage. It's very bizarre stuff. But,
Is it multicolored?
It's multicolored in a different language, too. But, they take that and they customize it for your interests, and this is the same thing you're talking about, is they're going to take all this information and direct you in your searches and in your
Trust me, I've hit a couple locks where I can't go very far because they're reading my cookies.
Yep.
So they actually lock me out of an area that I can't get into. So I get my smartphone, of course, Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Be somebody else.
Just so they can know exactly where you are.
And use it that direction. But, I mean, it's there, and people just don't. I just don't think people understand this at all.
Well,
I think this is huge.
There's so much nefariousness, you know, out there. I think it starts to become overwhelming. That's why we're going to unpack some of it. All right, we're going to do more after the break. Bob's got another snappy tune for us. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're going to hold Bill down and swab him.
I'm not going to answer the door.
Send him to the Genome Project.
Not going to do it.
Oh, you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Every breath you take.
Take me away, ho ho, hee hee, ha ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time.
This is what we were doing on the break.
To see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away.
That would have been a good theme song for the swabbing. And for those of you that just tuned in, we can't possibly go back to all of that because there's just way too much falderol that's required. Okay, you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Join us online later today, too, because I'll keep adding all the stuff that Tracy sent me when I stop screwing around and start typing here. Okay.
Data.
So.
Data. There you have it.
All right, so technology. And all the stuff as it relates to Common Core and how that plays into this whole thing, and the games.
The games, the assessments. We just found this out, believe it or not. This is a real interesting. They have to get certain data out of our children. That was called the rigor. We went through this on the Common Core last time. They're requiring behavior. They need behavior. They want to see the behavior of our children. They want to know how they think and what they think. So the connections back there are going to be used, and they just are. New York has started this 2 to 3 years prior to us. And I've actually given you a letter that was written by 557 principals backed up to the parents of New York. They were talking about the children vomiting, bowel movements during the assessments.
And that would be caused by?
Well, it's got to be either the stuff on the test. I have no idea. Because I can't imagine a test being that bad and having 557 principals back it up saying we're apologetic to the parents and so forth. And it is down
the kids were getting sick during the testing?
Yes. During the test and so forth.
They didn't serve any bad borscht at the beginning either. I mean, it wasn't.
It was a little shocking when I wrote this letter.
What was that noise?
I tried to take the test.
I haven't heard the word forced lately. No, I mean, it's the test that's setting that off.
It's got to be the anxiety level of the test. And I heard the tests are actually longer than need be. Now, this letter is written in 2014. In April 2014, I had just come across UCLA, who is connected, of course, to Smarter Balanced with a contract that I've given to you guys the last Common Core meeting, that actually they're to help with these assessments for kids. Well, Center for Advanced Technology in Schools, CATS, at UCLA has created, and they're going after gaming basically for kids in schools. It would be great. The behavioral changes that are the can happen. Role-playing games, they can pull out any type of belief that they can in role-playing, give them some questions, and it directs the game. The test will alter to each child, to the answers. So it will differ from child to child. And this is where it's got to be the role-playing games. And I'm still investigating this, but the research is all there. They just are now downloading a lot of the assessments to Smarter Balanced. So it's an interesting concept, but it's all attached to behavioral interfaces and software. The curriculum is also going to change the same way. It's going to be digital. Everything is technology. Obama put into play the technology in schools, Connect Ed. I think it was about 2010. He wants this data. They want this data from our kids. And it's all related to behavior, neuroscience, brain initiative. All this stuff is connected. They're all connected in interfaces. And people just don't see the bigger picture.
Well, because when you tell people that,
they think I'm crazy.
Well,
I wasn't really going to go right there, but I was going to skirt that issue, actually.
But, no, I mean, people don't understand. Like, when you tell people, okay, like the statement we made earlier, reading directly out of the president's deal there from May, and it says that your Wi-Fi in your house can tell them how many people are in the house and where you are.
Exactly.
Well,
so why not in our education department?
But people will say, well, that's silly. How would they know? Well, you know, it's funny. I was reading it, and but even if the sophistication, even if people have a hard time understanding that part of it, if you think about it, most people are walking around their house with their phone in their pocket, in their hand, on the chair next to them, so they move from room to room to room with their phone in their hand.
And the apps.
Well, it's literally a tracking device.
And the apps that you buy on these smartphones, people are not thinking, let's take a behavior test, or, oh, let's relax and take this, you know, this app that actually reads your brainwaves. Come on, you guys, this is real.
I forget who it was. I want to say it was Google or Microsoft. One of them applied for, they have a processor or a chip or something they're going to put in the new smart TVs. That, you know, your smart TVs have camera capability. And with this processor, they'll be able to watch the people that are watching television, see, they'll look at the programs they're watching, they'll see if it's men in the room, women in the room, kids in the room, dogs in the room, if you're sitting next to each other, if you're sitting apart, what foods you're eating, what snacks you're eating, and then all that data is then gathered, and they'll hit you with commercials to promote your particular lifestyle. So, you know, if it's, well, use your imagination. I mean, they can promote pretty much anything they want by just looking at your private moments.
Yes.
And they don't have it yet, but that technology they already have. They're just waiting for the okay to implement it.
Netflix, pure example. You go into the Netflix, what would you like to...
Oh, sure.
Of a sudden it pops out your...
If you like kind of this, you'll like this. Yeah.
You know, and you got to realize, and this is after I read that report, I kind of started getting paranoid, kind of like, oh, my gosh. But if you download your PlayStation 3, say, for instance, I mean, we do this all the time. You download and they upgrade. What do you think they're pulling off of there? Do you think that they're getting any information?
They're just upgrading their program. They're not really extracting any information from you. They're just downloading stuff.
Look at the privacy thing for those of you that have the Messenger from Facebook, the new Facebook Messenger. They change. I don't like that anyway. I'm bombarded. You know, the phone, the other phone, the text, the email. I get that. But to have a million messengers popping up too, it's like, huh. So I wasn't really a big fan to start with. And I started looking at this thing because people kept sending me messages and then I couldn't read them because, you know, we've changed our app. Oh my gosh. They want to mine all of your everything out of your phone. And a lot of apps say that, but this one was really, I mean, the list was extensive. And I thought, you know, maybe you could just send me the message I was getting. You know, is that too much to ask?
No, I...
That's way too much to ask.
I actually think...
They want you to give away the keys.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is the computers themselves are actually changing, too. The keystrokes. Every keystroke you do, this is the computer world. This is techie. People just don't see it happening, but it is. You know, keystrokes on a computer indicate stuff, too, as well. Your emotion is... It, you know, when you start researching in the background, your cookies, what are you looking for? They can see that. They can see your behavior. Like I said, these places are attached to enormous research places, too, as well. And I just, when you start really looking at the bigger picture, technology is advanced too much to the point where I think it's unfathomable for a typical human being that works and...
Sure.
It's
okay,
just too,
so
it's
now
too.
We should play devil's advocate, though. All right, so I can hear all sorts of people that are saying, "Well, I haven't done anything bad."
Oh, so research is good.
Well, but they haven't done anything bad. So what are they worried about? So what if they have all that on me? So what if they know where I go? I'm not doing anything wrong.
I'm not. Yeah, who cares?
Data is power. I mean, who is it? Was it Arne Duncan or even one of the? Oh,
I think it was
Bill Gates. Bill Gates said that. I remember seeing that off of a
Data is power.
Data is power. And if you think about it, could you imagine the control they will have from somebody? Because Brain Initiative has come into play. Within the last year, they've physically learned how to attach a person to figure out their ADHD without going through wires. It is all embedded in the software. Could you imagine how, well, this may be far out there, but... Do you imagine how powerful they would be, the government, if they knew how you thought as an individual and what you think as an individual, how your actual brain actually works, and you are attached? This is the assessments. This is the assessments on our children. They're not just going after the education part. They're going after the research. And I don't think people realize that this is part of the actual data that they are gathering. It's not just marketing.
It's not just controlling where you spend your dollar.
They're not just trying to sell you different ships or something.
They're
going to
control where you go, and you're not even going to realize that you're making a decision based on information
your medical records. Your medical records are attached. Your dental records are attached. Could you imagine if I was pregnant and they started monitoring me and I smoked as I'm pregnant?
Your husband just passed out. Yeah. By the way. Yeah.
Not a kid.
Your phone's ringing.
Look, honey, we've got 10. Awesome.
But if I was a smoker and they were monitoring my pregnancy.
Yeah.
And then they monitor that kid in preschool to see how he functions. And then they start realizing this kid's got major issues because you were the one that smoked during the presence. And do you get this whole, the whole bigger picture is a control. They can literally control you by what they say, by a word. Just maybe, and this is what they're doing to our children. They found out. They found out how to do it.
Well, okay, so
we've got
to take a really quick break. So your thought led me to, of course, do a little search here for quotes from Goebbels, because I was immediately thinking of him.
Oh, I think of him all the time, yeah.
I do.
Goebbels, yeah.
Goebbels,
yeah.
Right? Because I was going to say Nazi, and then you could go, ding. here's a perfect quote. Intellectual activity is a danger to the building of character. Wouldn't want to have all that intellectual activity going on there. Let's control that.
You're smarter than me. All
right, hit it, Bob. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding. Times did we sing along with that song enough that I haven't heard it in 30 years and I just sang along with it. Very scary. Are they going to program us through music too?
They could, but by words.
They can't though, because the only stuff I listen to is from the 70s. They'd have to time travel. Couldn't they time travel?
They've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Time travel?
Space-time continuum, time warps, they got all that down.
They just aren't telling us.
No.
Didn't they get a rip in that?
No, they didn't tear that.
Dang it.
There's no tear yet. No.
Sorry. Big difference between rip and tear. All right. Tracy, we have a whole other hour with you, so, you know, this is why we're being so, you know, glib about this. Besides that, we don't want our audience to throw themselves off the parapet just yet. We'd like them to stick around for next week.
That's all right. If they do, there'll be somebody there to catch them, because they'll already know that they're going to jump. Yeah, there'll be somebody at the bottom to meet them.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay. So the games... I guess I'm kind of fixated on that just because it's so creepy.
Well, I think it's actually very intelligent. This was the perfect storm. I can honestly tell you this in itself is unreal. When you put the bigger picture to it and the technology and the research and neuroscience and brain initiative stuff, and then you
and
got your interfaces.
To store data.
Oh, the data
so
is so
big.
Unreal. The databases, they're having to create databases. I think Blue Water is one of them. It's one of the biggest government databases going in, and I think they've already done it.
Is that the one in the desert?
I think this is one of the ones in the desert. I think they're finding out that all this data is coming in so fast that they don't have a place to put it. And I think this is where it's starting to come into play, but they can still grab your data from, you know, anywhere and any place. But could you
when
imagine
you look
the
at
control?
how much data they got to be able to store? I mean, on a day-to-day basis, the
smart meters and everything else. Yeah.
I mean, all this stuff. I mean, do you think they actually have the capability of storing that much data on every single human being?
We're going international. You got to realize that. International, not just national. So we're using other databases in other places too. You've got to, there's just no way. And this is what's shocking with this whole thing is everybody thinks it's just national.
No, this is
international. Our data in the education world, I know, are connected already internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And people just don't get that. This is what really I really want people to understand is this is not just national. We went to a school board meeting and one of the teachers, or was it a parent? No, I think it was a teacher. So thrilled to death that her students can talk to somebody in a different state to work on a report together. And they're just kind of going, are you kidding me? You get really what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
In another state. And they were all just so happy about this. And it's like, don't you realize that this data that they're grabbing from our children, plus behavior interfaces, so it changes the behavior of these kids. They're not seeing that part. They're not seeing the interconnection, and it's international, not
national.
Well,
a lot of people will say, you know, they're not really doing anything that would attract any attention, that they don't have any valuable information. And that may be true. However, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, if you put yourself in a position of, say, running for a political office or you know, some position of power, they can go back and grab all this information they've been collecting on you since you were 5 years old, and boom, they can tell you your life story.
Well, and this is what scares me.
That's when it becomes valuable.
Yeah. Well, not just that. Think of all the connections that I've already made with Secret Service, CPS.
Yep.
You got to realize that they're going to change the behavior they'll be doing the they'll collect the data on your child's behavior and start targeting that child. Oh my gosh, we're seeing truancy already. These are all linked. Your cow pads here in state.
Well, you had a big FBI report where it said that they were. This is a kid who's likely to commit a crime.
Exactly.
Type thing.
And that's the sad fact is people aren't seeing the. They're controlling it in the background. Parents have no clue. Our rights were taken away when it came to 2011 when they were planning on doing all this data research. So, you know, it typically, if you do research like this in a hospital, you need a consent. And this is where our consents are all already taken out. They ignored those consents for
research.
They've kind of
Fisher-priced the consent. They've made it simple and friendly looking and multicolor. It's a game.
Yes.
It's just a game. It's an app for your phone.
Yep.
It's
yep.
Facebook. It's whatever.
But grab the behavior details, the psychologist stuff.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Spooky. Okay, we're coming back with more spooky regarding technology. Go to the website, wethepeopleradio.us. Tons of information there. We'll be back with Tracy in the next hour. Bob has information for you. Tell him, Bob.
Fumble
on the play.
I get a do-over. You're listening to We the People on AM 1460, community radio for the North State, KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Listening to We the People Radio with Aaron and Bill and Tracy and Bob. We forgot to tell them that last hour. We were just nameless, faceless voices out there in the atmosphere.
Fearsome, foursome.
But they know, though.
I'm anonymous.
They know. They know.
I'm anonymous. Nobody knows.
No, there is somebody who's anonymous. You know, anonymous is like a...
The hacker.
Yeah, the hacker.
Yeah.
You're not really anonymous.
That's right. That name's already taken.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
I know. Isn't that... Yeah, frustrating.
What's your name? Anonymous.
Anonymous. you could say, I want to be anonymous.
Yeah, I want to be anonymous.
Yeah. Then you could be the hacker. Okay. So we're talking about technology.
You're confusing me.
Bill's not going to be able to play the games that are going to reorganize his mind because I just did it.
Reorganize the world.
And you heard it here first.
You're bothering me.
I'm sorry. Okay, so we're talking about technology, but not just like technology, not just better refrigerators or, you know, washing machines that clean themselves, which I did last night. That was fun. This is technology designed to control. So for all the people out there that are worried about, like, the New World Order, those kinds of things, and they think that it's about taking our guns, and, I mean, I do think it's about that. Sorry, I didn't mean to minimize there. Okay, that's factual. But there's an entire net being thrown over us, literally. I don't think it's any accident. They call it the internet. That technology has really big implications.
But, you know, when you talk about it, the implications and all the data mining and so forth, how do you do that without starting to sound like a nut? Oh, you're just paranoid.
The people on Coast to Coast Radio will always be farther down the trail than we are.
Oh, that's true.
So we do have them to fall back on.
That's true. I've heard it on Coast to Coast.
I know.
Well,
yeah.
But there's a reason why.
My child's a hybrid.
That's why I listen. I want to make sure that I'm not crossing over.
Well, there's a reason why Pelosi wants the internet off for... I mean, she wanted the... They wanted
Pelosi. Pelosi is a hybrid.
And well, she wants to stop the control of the internet, you know? And that's... See, this is where... And they're already controlling it, believe it or not. I mean... Google already filters it here in the United States, so it's obviously filtered already. They're going to, you know, it's an interesting process. The technology has reached realms that I don't think a human technical,
yeah.
You know, just, I think Bill Gates is probably one that could understand it a little, or his people that are creating the software, and people like that, you know, where you go through Oracle classes and you get your big giant data, a totally different world. And I think if people really knew what they were doing with these computers, I probably would try to go live somewhere that doesn't have any computers and any cell phones and no technology. I'll be going to Alaska. You guys can all stay here.
I don't think you can get out of it with Alaska.
No, you can't. The satellites will probably pick you up. Anyway.
Exactly.
So it's there's
but
just
the
no
application,
way around it.
So next week, for those folks that missed the first hour, maybe you just forgot or they're under their kitchen sink looking for poison to drink so they can stop learning about this. Don't do it. Don't do it. We're looking at how this applies to education because that's really a big deal. I mean, we want to push back on things like Common Core and the application of this, but if they change the name, we should be able to recognize the stuff that's inside of it.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, perfect.
It's kind of like what do you call it? Race to the bottom. You know, wasn't it George Bush that did Race to the Bottom?
Race to the Top.
Yeah, but it was Race to the Bottom. We all know it. So we had Race to the Bottom, and then we have No Child, you know, Every Child Left Behind, actually. We have to be left behind as a group now instead of just one. So you had all those different names, but they were all the same. They were about dumbing down our education system under the guise of improving it and about taking our exceptional kids and making them not exceptional because the other kids needed to be exceptional because everyone gets a trophy, blah, 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 and so much commentary there. But the technology now makes a lot of
and
really
is,
nefarious things
exactly.
possible.
This is what they wanted all along, and it's finally here. I think the people that pushed the digital, you know, Obama administration pushed this through just so, I mean, the technology in schools, Connect Ed, I mean, there was only 33% of schools that actually had connection with computers, and now he wants 99% by 2016. You know, that says a lot. Why do they need that? Why do they need all this data?
Just so they can look stuff up.
But it's, and here's the thing that I'm running into too, is a lot of the younger generations, no offense, but a lot of the younger generations feel that they've been doing this all along, so what difference does it make? And this is where I have to remind people that, you know what, in the education world, that was not acceptable. They were still getting data, but the technology has made it to the point where they're now going into areas where they don't belong, and I without the parents' consents. And I think this is a big, big thing because of all the research that is going on. I mean, the data is not A, B, C, D and how your kid did. It's more of your kid is behaving this way. Why is this kid behaving this way? Why are they learning this way? They're going into details of the families, not the actual grades and how they learn or teaching what they've learned. It's basically going into the structure of a family. How does this child relate to the 21st century when he was raised or she was raised in this kind of environment? This is detailed family, and everything is connected. Medical records, dental, like I said earlier. And then, of course, you have your research places, which is, you know, off to its side. You have neuroscience that's connected. Neuroscience is more of a behavior. You can go into neuroscience big time.
Oh, that's what my dating site uses.
Ashley Madison.
and curriculum.
Who makes a thing like that? Anyway.
I think the curriculum, too, is going digital. It was funny. I went to the school board. Reading Elementary School Board here in Reading uses what they call a dream box. And it was quite interesting. I end up researching all these different places. And so if your board meeting's coming up, I'll be researching you too as well. But
because you're always watching.
I know. Dreambox is part of a curriculum that they are going to, and it's digital. These things are going digital. There's going to be no books there. And come to find out, they're all attached. The actual president of Dreambox actually used to work at the leadership of College Board. What a surprise. They're all connected.
And the leadership of College Board is bad because?
Well, College Board is the one that David Coleman went to. He's one of the five writers of the Common Core. And this is where they rewrite the SATs. This is where the history book is being rewritten. It's all connected. And to sit and see the connection of the Dream Box and how she was part of the College Board and now she's there running this database. But you got to realize the platforms attached to these databases are unreal. There are huge platforms. And the platforms, again, are, you know, they connect the connections. And believe it or not, one of the platforms that they're using is the same platform that Smarter Balanced is using. So you can't tell me that it's not all going to talk.
And they're all connected.
Yeah, they're
absolutely connected.
I would suggest if, as a parent, go in and take a look at the curriculum that they are now using for Common Core. Look it up on the computer. Look at the privacy policies. See what policies that they have third party, and this is where I go back to the third party. It does the government reword the three party factor? Is that a different? That's one thing I have learned about doing this research is the federal government uses different terminology than what we think, and they have them in quotes, or you know, and it's kind of an interesting process that I've learned. But third party is not what we think of third party is, and I'm thinking that they've just, and it's a cover up, so people will not know what it means. And look up the actual curriculum. Look up the connections. Look up the partners that are involved with the curriculum. That's an interesting, because usually you'll tie to Bill Gates or some type of a Microsoft connection. And like I said, all these computers interface. They are not the software interfaces. So you have your behavioral software that is now digital that is being introduced to these kids on computers. And then you do your assessments that are on computers. And then you also do your surveys that are on the computers. Secret Service, connected, background, behavior. All these things are connected on interfaces and platforms. And it's really scary.
You know, I work with a fellow who just had a baby. I think the baby is about a year old, maybe not quite a year old. And every day he comes to me and shows me pictures and new things that the boy is learning to do, expressions, speech, and how he's copying and mimicking the things around him. And it reminded me how much kids are just a total sponge. They will pick up everything you put in front of them. At some point, they will access that information. And now look what we're putting in front of them. At that age, when they're just absorbing everything they can, now we're going to program that information.
Exactly.
When they leave the house in the morning, their day will be programmed. The information, their input will all be programmed until they get home at night when they get to use it and express it.
Exactly.
It's no different than what's been going on forever, but now the actual information is being totally controlled.
Exactly.
Totally controlled on a level that I don't think people realize that we're even capable of.
Well, and if anybody was curious if they were spying on you, stop worrying about it. You're giving them everything. I mean, I was thinking about the baby thing. People put all these videos of their babies. Actually, I think it's a privacy issue to put those stupid stick people on the back of your car, too. Hey, look, we've got a mom, a dad, three kids, a dog, and a cat.
Well,
that narrows it down.
Well, here's your license plate number. We can and look that up online, and we'll know where you live.
Yeah, or a parent. I like it when it's a single parent and a bunch of kids. It's like, oh, that's...
But see, here's where it comes in.
Wow.
Here's where it comes in, where they have the date anyway, so what difference does it make now? This is what we're getting.
At least you can make it hard. Something to guess about.
I actually think if we just put a foot down and say, you know, hey, we're done with this. You don't need to take our private. Start fighting back in the education world and say flat out, you don't belong here. You don't deserve this information that we're going to give you. Our kids do not need to take these tests. Opt out of these tests.
Exactly.
At least get the data is cured. And I think that might even put a little damper on the research, is if they have skewed data.
You know. Makes you wonder what we're going to have 25 years from now.
Oh, jeez.
That's where it's going to come home to roost.
We better eat our Wheaties because, you know what, we came from the pre-technology dinosaur era. You know, they might need of us.
Well, they're going to go.
When it goes Mad Max and Thunderdome, they're going to need us.
And well, not just that. They're going to manage how you eat. If you're obese from your medical record, I'm sorry, this is what's being served to you for education for lunch at school.
And when you go to the grocery store, I'm sorry, you can't buy that. your health code just rejected that sale.
The Jetsons and Star Trek are real. We're all going to wear those little stretchy suits and look the same.
Hope you like kale and broccoli, buddy.
Your Smarter Balanced app is just telling us that you cannot eat this.
Actually, there's a commercial. I'll find it when we come back. There's a commercial that, you know, the one where they punch the guy?
Oh.
He picks the wrong thing in it. Anyway, we'll do that when we come back so that I have accurate data for you. Oh, my gosh. You're listening to We the People Radio. Talking about technology today with Tracy. Common Core, stuff like that. Lots of other happy subjects. Stick with us. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Give a damn's busted.
Oh, now they do.
Classic. Is there more? Oh, there's not more.
Not that's relevant.
We're fit to print. Oh, my gosh.
Hard to fit love songs in on this show.
We just don't have that kind of vibe. Although we did have to turn the air conditioning down because we were all freezing.
What are you saying, Bob? You're not feeling the love? Come on, man.
Well, the government loves like our kids.
Bob. Somebody needs a hug.
Exactly. It's all about the love.
I wanted to make a comment too. I think teachers feel that this research is good because they give them the data, but you know. I don't know what kind of data they're going to get out of this, except maybe how many kids have disciplinary problems. Because I really do not, and I was trying to look at New York to see what kind of data they were getting.
Because they've done this for a while, right?
Yeah, and the accountability is coming. I know that Brown had signed to get the accountability for teachers out, but it's starting to show up in your funding.
What does that mean exactly?
Teachers are accountable with how they teach. And, you know, this is what's kind of weird is it's almost like if you're allowing your kids to stand up in class after taking this assignment, and I think this is where the bowel movements come in at with that letter, is the teachers, if they allow that kid to get up, they're docked for accountability because they're not sitting down doing their testing. And I think those tests are so long that the teachers have to actually monitor the kid sitting in front of the computer, you know. And I think this whole thing is true,
and they'll know if they got up. Not like the old days where they just might, the principal would notice there were kids in the hall. Now they know because the computer's not working.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So I think this whole thing is just a bigger picture, and I don't think teachers and principals understand this. They see this as great. When you see parents just and teachers go, oh my gosh, this is great. This is keeping the kids involved. You know, they're sitting on the computer. They're playing these little games on the computers. I think, what is it, Dojo is one of them.
What is that?
It's a classroom. It's just a game. But see, the thing is when these computers are in the room and the kids sit down to play this game, they're monitoring that child as they're playing the game. So even these little games that they have in now, people are not thinking that those computers have software in them. That software is generating the behavior and shooting it out to the research places. So it's already
the same stuff that's following your Amazon order, and then all of a sudden now the next website you come up to, all the sidebar ads are about books that you just bought, you know, the type of books you just bought or whatever it was you were looking for.
And where are they getting these computers? You know, I had asked a school, you know, where do you get your computers at? Well, what a surprise. You know, would they come from a warehouse? Well, if say, for instance, if I knew I was going to sell a whole bunch of computers to an educational department, do you not think that there might be some type of a monitor or a chip in those systems?
Oh, you know there is.
So you,
Apple doesn't give their computers to the school systems for free. They're going to get something out of it.
And there's got to be a software that's, or even a some type of a chip that might be in there that might control the behavior, as in monitoring blood pressure, too, might be another one that they're going to end up having to do. They can do this without, believe it or not, without being hooked to wires. It's a shocking. I called down to San Francisco. I think I said this the last show I was on, but I called down to San Francisco to see if they can do this now with technology. Because, like I said, this is just within the last year. This is just bombarded.
And who are you contacting?
I contacted a ADHD facility. It was to show to see.
Did
if
you have
your
to press one a whole lot of times when you called?
No, actually, it was really nice. That's cute.
They already knew who she was.
If you have ADHD, press one like 50 times and
And Tracy on one.
one.
And she, I had asked her flat out. I said, I was just kind of curious if you have to be hooked up, if my child has to be hooked up to any monitors to find out whether my child has ADHD. And she goes, no, you don't have to. And matter of fact, we make it so fun for the kids that they have no idea that they're taking these tests. I went, oh, well, that's interesting. How do you do it? She goes, oh, well, we put games in there. So they just play the games, and then, you know, you can read the background of it on the back end of it through, you know, the data that they're receiving. They take it and psychoanalyze it, and then there you go. You have your data, and I find that very interesting. I said, so can they do this to the Common Core with these assessments that is now mandated? And she goes, oh, my gosh. They could easily do that. And I just went, yeah.
God, so, the bell just rang just in rang. Her head. Huh?
So did she have the, I should have had a V8 kind of like moment?
She did. As a matter of fact, I had asked her, well, if there's any problems, can you, you know, come to court and say, you know, can you actually vouch for this?
By the way, can I get a swab of your DNA? I want to find you again, find out how close your arms are to the ground.
This is just recently. This has just taken place just recently, and I think that's why it's so hard for people to understand it. This is just now hitting. Well, how can they do my behavior changing? That's just unreal. No, it's not. It's
well,
here.
Look at, okay.
It's here.
Super easy example. Look at Luminosity. Luminosity.com. You see it advertised all the time. Luminosity, you do... you play little games, and they're simple things like raindrops are falling, and in each raindrop it has a little math example, and you have to put, you know, it'll say like 5 plus 9, so you've got to, before the raindrops hit the ground, you have to answer the math questions. You don't have time to do it the Common Core way, though, so this is obviously for old people because it's speed tested, and then the raindrops come faster and faster and faster. Then there are puzzles where there are parts that are missing, and then they disappear, and you've got to fill them back in again. It's designed to help your brain process better.
Exactly.
Well, if you can do little, I mean, go there and do the little sample at Luminosity.
Deeper thinking.
Now, if you can do that to keep your brain limber, right, why can't you do stuff like that to shut off certain parts?
Well, I think that
turn on certain parts.
I really do. I really think that this is where it's going. But they've also, and this is where I keep going back to that letter from New York, there's a reason for those kids acting and responded the way that they do. They still need that data. So no matter if it's painted in a game, these kids might still have some type of reaction, whether it be, you know, wedbedding at night.
Bedwetting. I'm all, they're going to do what? I haven't had any kids in my house in a while, but what can they do?
Be careful what website you go on. Next thing you know, in the middle of a meeting, it'll be, oops.
It's online poker. They're going to do wedbedding.
Wedbedding.
Freudian slip.
I'll never end that.
Classic. And we never let anything go. I mean, most people are too kind. They would just let you say that because we knew what you meant. No, we got to stop. Beat you up. Now
I'll never live this one down. That's all right.
Online poker with
Tracy. There's definitely something that they're trying to go after, and they're still going to go after it, whether it's game you know, or not. The kids are going to respond, and they're not going to like. There's a reason why they say these are not age appropriate. I mean, your brains are not functioning still. So you got to realize that there's obviously something going on with these assessments and tests and the surveys and all the stuff that they're going to do to these children that are not age appropriate. And the frontal lobe on younger kids are not developed yet. And this is, I think, where the behavior problems, and this is all new. So they have no idea how this is going to react on our kids.
Well, plus, if you just go to the most basic element, the fact that you have Wi-Fi in all the schools.
Yeah.
And there's a huge school of thought that says that Wi-Fi, people being exposed to heavy amounts of Wi-Fi, especially children, that has a big effect on them, and it's not a good
exactly.
one.
Exactly. I do have somebody that I have an attachment to with emails and phone calls and such, had actually, he's a physician, actually has letters from parents talking about the Wi-Fi bloody noses that are actually starting to show up in schools a little bit more. These are letters from other parents and concerned teachers saying that we're having issues with headaches. Yes. So just to let you know that that's also out there. So start watching to see if your child has more headaches, too. I mean, they're now starting to implement this band-wide here broadband.
Broadband.
Mm. Broadband and the Wi-Fis. And you got to realize that, you know, Reading, too, I mean, they're really pushing this stuff, and they're going to put it in every school. So even if you're way out, I'm sure they'll spend the money and put that in. But watch out for those things and see if it does happen to your child, if your child's still in school, and make sure that you might keep that in the back of your head if there's any problems like that.
You know, the other day, what was it? I think it was last Wednesday night, the power went out. And I'm in the middle of cooking dinner, and boom, the power goes out. I mean, it didn't flicker. It didn't bounce back. It just, boom, went out. And the whole neighborhood was black. So I lit some candles, and I got my lantern out, and I got some light first off. Then I fired up the barbecue, and I continued to cook dinner. And then I'm standing there in the dark, and it struck me how ill-prepared I am if that power didn't come back on. What would I do? I mean, you look at... I had no radio. I had no communication. I had a cell phone, but my router didn't work. So I didn't have, the Wi-Fi was down. How many people realize how dependent they are on, you take just the internet. If the internet goes down and stays down, the things that are going to get affected by that, from your credit card transactions to your communications,
gas pumps,
just the internet went down. And you could still have power, but something as small as the internet, we've become so dependent on technology that if there's a slight bobble, I mean, you think about that. Go outside your house someday when the family's not aware of it and throw your breaker and put everybody in darkness. And watch the reaction you're going to get.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not prepared.
No.
They're going to be in the dark. They're going to get scared. They're not going to know what to do. Do you have batteries? Are you on a well? You just ran out of water. I mean, there's so many things that will happen if we lose this technology. We become so dependent on it. It's kind of scary.
Well, talking about that, I mean, think about what they're doing in the schools right now. They're pulling out agricultural. The schools will no longer have agriculture. They do not want us to know how to do these things by ourselves.
No.
And they're relying on technology. 21st century people, this is what they're selling to our education, is 21st century learning. 21st century learning is technology.
Yep.
So if you think that your kids are going to be taught how to, work on a ranch.
And for themselves.
No, they
can't.
Yeah,
they're not going to.
They don't know how.
No.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. We have Lydia on hold there. We've got her as our hostage. We will release her when we return. You're listening to We the People Radio. I just added a bunch of stuff to the website, too, by the way. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Oh, you're going to like this song.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Can you dance?
Smiling faces, smiling faces.
says sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got you.
Alan Parsons was a prophet.
The prophet Alan Parsons.
I can cheat you blind. Did you hear that?
I can
read your mind. I can cheat you blind. That's because they're web betting. They're all gamblers now.
Yep, you had it right. Yep, I can cheat
Does
you blind.
Does that mean they're gambling on marriage?
Exactly.
To cheat you right.
Fade to black, huh?
Yep, I can read your mind.
Brutal.
And again, it's a trick. They can't read your mind. You're giving them the information.
And then they read your mind after that. All right. Pop Lydia on there before we hold her hostage too long. Lydia, are you in there?
I am. I love the music.
That was a good one, huh?
Yeah. I just want to say you guys are doing a great job, and this topic is really scary.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people know, you know, a lot of parents say, oh, well, I'll just pull my kids out of public school and put them in charter school. But as long as they're being funded, it's the same thing. They're going to have Common Core.
They're told what to teach.
The great part about that is, though, if they're in a charter school, there's no school board, so no one's elected to look over them. It's a board of directors.
Yeah.
Lydia, thank you very much.
Well, I have had a lot of teachers tell me that they don't like Common Core. However, their funding will be pulled if they don't teach it.
But,
so what is a parent to do?
Well, the funding's going to be hard anyways, because here's the thing. You got to realize that when it comes to this digital curriculum that they're going to, you have to buy software to update. And this is where it's going to bankrupt a lot of schools, and they're not seeing the bigger picture. Also, I want to let people know that the standards themselves, the guidelines that we're all supposedly following, are copyrighted. They copywrote that for the people. We cannot change it. So what it is it's a hypothesis. It's almost like a research project. So you got to realize the curriculum they're teaching, and there's your surveys and your assessments. So as soon as they start doing these research projects on our children, they're going to have to change the standards to what they want to research on. So they will go back in and change the standards to what they want to research. Then, of course, we're buying new curriculum because it changed. The research changed. And now, of course, your assessments will also change due to that. So they're not seeing the bigger picture that the curriculum, the schools will end up, this is just a huge, I want to say, hole for money, because look at how many people are involved. You got your digital, you know, Pearson went digital, and, you know, they're not thinking, computers do outdate too as well. So, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, but I know Smarter Balance said which computer, Windows, was it Windows 7 that they said that they will only take for one more year?
Oh, and probably XP.
XP. They will only let the school system use it for one more year. And if they do not have upgraded systems, they have to buy new ones. So people are not seeing the technology part is going to bankrupt these schools.
Right. Well, as usual, the poor kids are the guinea pigs. It's just like that new math that they taught. I have a daughter who's 50 years old. She still does not know math because of that damn new math that they have. Anyway, thank you guys for everything you
thank
do.
You. Thank you, Lydia.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lydia. You know, isn't that just a flat fact of it? You know, they can't get out of it because
they're not going to have any funding, but by doing it, they're not going to have any funding.
No. The whole thing is just, it's outrageous. It's going to cost taxpayers, and I think this is where I think a lot of people should at least look to, is taxpayers are going to be forking out. They're going to start asking for more money out of the taxpayers. They're going to have to. There's no way, either that or the schools are going to have to do more cookie sales to do Apple.
But they're not allowed to do
iPads.
That because, you know. Well, yeah. They won't let them do any of that stuff. Actually, they can't raise their own money, can they?
I think. I don't know about that. That's something that I would love somebody to let us know about if that's the case. All I know is people are not seeing that the software has got to upgrade. They have to upgrade software. And that means the school's going to have to either pay for it or, I mean, iPads. I mean, think of all the iPads. Could you imagine if one kid drops an iPad? Oops, we got one broken or something happens to that. Well, we got to replace it because that's what the system is using. So they are going to control what the schools will be using as your computers, too.
And see, on the flip side, because I'm always hearing the dissenters, I guess I have a secret dissenter room in the back of my mind, and sometimes they get out, and I can hear them saying, but see, then the kids aren't carrying all these books all the time. And so it's not hurting their backs. All they have to carry is an iPad. The information is always up to date, so they don't have to keep buying all these books. They don't have to cut down all these trees. Sorry, Bill. Selling that logging equipment is going to be a dead-end career for you.
That was cold.
It was. That was kind of a shot there.
That was. We're going to do a show on logging. That's it.
We're going to cut some trees right here.
I don't bring my chainsaw.
I like to go to Lumberjack, the restaurant, to watch them, you know, because they always have the Lumberjack games on the TV there. I've got a thing for that. Anyway, I digress.
Look at her go. Shiny something in the air. Woo.
Yeah, woo.
Woo, there she goes.
Something shiny went by the window. No, what I was looking for, the something shiny that went by a little minute ago during when Lydia was talking, 6 miracles of socialism. It's a great graphic. I'll put it on the site. 1, there's no unemployment, but no one works. 2, no one works, but everyone gets paid. Everyone gets paid, but there's nothing to buy with the money. No one can buy anything, but everyone owns everything. Everyone owns everything, but no one is satisfied. And 6, no one is satisfied, but 99% of the people vote for the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, socialism in a nutshell. Doesn't it kind of sound like this?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't have to carry those big, heavy books. They can carry an iPad. But the iPad is meant to control them, and it costs a lot more money.
Computers are supposed to get rid of all that paper, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I think they've generated 10 times the paper.
Now, that was mentioned at the school board, was... one of the teachers says, oh, the kids don't have to use paper. Well, of course, you got your green, you know, saying, oh, you're not allowed to use paper. And the one girl said, if I were to lose it, though, what would you say? Well, it's supposed to be done on computer, so you don't have that excuse anymore.
Is that why the kids all now have to carry these huge backpacks to bring everything back and forth from school? I mean, when I was going to school, I never carried a backpack.
Well, we had lockers.
Well, I didn't have to carry all the books and all the, you know... And now these kids, they've got to carry 40 pounds of crap in this backpack.
Not anymore. That's solved.
Oh, yeah.
Now they just got to carry that little iPad.
Well, that's true. Now that it's all on software, they can't take anything.
Well,
home.
And just to let people know, too, we were down at the state school board, and Joe Wilhoft is the actual director of Smarter Balanced, flat out said that the digital library that the kids have access to, teachers and parents will not have access to this digital library, which really came as a shocker. Yep.
Teachers and parents?
Yep. Teachers are not allowed to have it. And
well, if the kids have it, the teachers are going to have access, aren't they?
No, it's my understanding that from that, you can always go back to that, people, by the way, and you can always go back to the state school board meeting at the California Department of Education to listen. It's a two-dayer. It was pretty long. But Smarter Balanced was down there, and they did talk about this. And I think teachers need to get involved with this. Of course, they're afraid to talk, but I think they need to start realizing that they're going to be cut here with a lot of stuff that I don't think they realize what they're going to get cut with. And they're going to turn into psychologists, basically. They're going to be retaught to teach the class. And this is what scares me, is the teachers will have no control.
No, it won't.
We're
it won't
just
be
administrators.
It won't be about teaching. It'll be about
administrating the tests or administering the information.
Yeah, psychologists are now mandated. I think they were mandated in 2001 to be in school systems now.
God, doesn't that tell you something right there when a school has to have a psychologist?
I think, I don't know. I was shocked when I found that information out. So I don't know. You know, Lydia, yeah, you're right. They are going to lose funding. Yes. And actually, they're going to lose funding either way. Are kids in trouble? Yes. I think opting out would be the best bet, considering what you're seeing in the background of what's being done with our kids. Truthfully, as a parent, I don't care what the situation was. I would try to work really hard to get my kid out of this type of behavior changing assessments and curriculum and everything. Right now, the education department is falling apart, you know, and the government has made it very well known, or made me feel, that you can't homeschool. You need to put your kid in a charter school, and I think that was part of the whole system itself, too. We as parents have had, that's why we're parents. We teach. Mm-hmm. You know, this goes back to the old days. This is, you know, go back beyond that. It's just like the government telling us, don't drink raw milk. Are you kidding me? It's just the government that says that. I haven't found any other CDC's part of the government, you know.
Right.
And I think if you go backwards, and I think we as parents need to start realizing we're parents.
You know, I was listening to a thing on my way up the mountain on Friday. And so when I have to, you know, work out of town and I have no cell signal or anything, you know, I just listen to the satellite radio so they'll know where I am because, you know, I want to make sure they can follow me at all times.
That's right.
So I'm listening to satellite radio. I like to listen to 127. It used to be called Left. Now it's called Progress. So Progressive Radio. Because I'm always kind of curious what the other team's doing. These guys were going on and on and on about how awesome it was that they were going to have preschool education now. I was like, is that before they're born?
Yeah, there's your data. There's your data.
Oh, yeah, they want them in school from the very, very beginning. How much better is that going to be for all the kids? Because now we're going to be able to make sure that they all know the same things and that
we've been holding back and not teaching them what they need to know all the time.
Yeah, these dumb parents aren't doing their job before kindergarten, and so we've got to get them in.
Arne Duncan said that he would like to put a dinner attached to, so we have the lunch program and the breakfast program. And dinner is now the next step, it sounds like, because parents leave their kids in daycare and after-school care. You also got to realize those after-school care and preschool care actually have surveys attached to them. If you look closer to whatever daycare you're at, they're going to have to facilitate a survey. And that survey goes out. Now, see, this is where I'm talking about. All these things are attached, and people aren't seeing the bigger picture. Tutoring after school is going to be offered, even here at Shasta County area. Tutoring, same thing. If you go through a tutor that's through the school system, there's going to be surveys attached to that. They want to know why your kid's being tutored and so forth. So you got to realize that all these things are being attached. And this is what's really scary, is this is everything. This is not just about the Common Core. It's the education government takeover, period. It's not about Common Core. It's
and it's
education.
Not even about education taking over. It's really just about
government
the takeover. Dun, 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 dun. We'll be back. 2 minutes. We need to thank our advertisers. Because we love them, and therefore we can talk crap about the government on the radio. So
I'm going to check the web and see what Michelle Obama wants me to have for a snack and go grab something to eat.
Oh, by the way, I updated the website, wethepeopleradio.us, here at KCNR 1460.
The closer I get, you're wasting your time. The more you ignore me, the closer I get, you're wasting your time. Essential parts.
And
just be a darn good sport.
And,
that's all.
And here at We the People Radio, even Weird Al Yankovic is a prophet. All the music we've listened to for years was really actually preparing us for this fight, and we didn't know it, so that we can sing along, literally. Hey, so I'm going to do a little blurb on next week, because this is really a two-part discussion. We've been looking at the technology that is embedded in the Common Core, program, philosophy, the whatever you want to call it. Next week, we have Patrick Wood, who's the author of Technocracy Rising, and that page is also on our archive. If you click on it, you'll be able to order the book. You could probably get it. If you order it from him, you'll get it before the program, actually. But here's kind of the premise. In the heat of the Great Depression during the 1930s, prominent scientists and engineers proposed a utopian, energy-based economic system called technocracy that would be run by those same scientists and engineers instead of elected officials. Although the radical movement lost momentum in the 40s, it regained status when it was conceptually adopted by the elitist Trilateral Commission. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at the outgrowth of things that happened that were conceptualized in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this is one application.
Yep.
Through Common Core.
Just like
exactly.
We're going to be looking 25 years from now going, what the hell went wrong?
How did this happen?
When did this start and why didn't we do anything about it?
So I do hope, you know, you let let friends know and stuff. Next week, that'll be the bigger picture as relates to the Trilateral Commission, to the new economic world order, all those kinds of things from somebody who's been studying this for a long time. Oh, and by the way, isn't part of it. We'll be swept up in the net, but isn't actually part of making it happen. So
I just want to
information's power.
Yes, data is power, and they're going to grab it. And if we allow it to continue, I think Common Core, we need to step up and just flat out say we're not going to take the technology. We're not going to do this to our children. We're not going to allow it. Opt out. Yes, you're afraid of the funding. I get it. I understand that. But unfortunately, it's a catch-22.
This is a very, very fast fast bus to nowhere.
Yep.
Actually. Tracy, you have been an awesome resource, as always.
Thank you.
Keep researching. Every week, if we check back with you, you have more. You're like a Disney World. You can't see the whole thing. You got to just keep going back.
Can't ride all the rides in a day.
No, there's no possible way to do it. 43 square miles, for heaven's sakes.
And Tracy, you're an e-ticket.
Bob, you're awesome.
She has 43 square miles worth of data there, I think.
I think so, too. So we've updated the website. Go there, wethepeopleradio.us. Check out next week with Patrick Wood and Technocracy. I think you'll like it. It's as much fun as you can have while your eyes are exploding. So, see ya.